It is Elliot Friedman, NHL on Sportsnet and Hockey Night in Canada. Elliot, we had the interesting note from Adrian Dater yesterday, and also we know that the Leafs had three scouts in attendance for the Sabres and Avalanche, though it is interesting to hear the Leafs getting linked with Matt Duchene and Gabriel Landeskog. Is there anything you've heard on this front?
Well, I mean, the interesting thing about this is it comes at the same time that Chris Johnson reported that Toronto a while ago moved their injured bodies, the Loopels and Robidoughs of the world, onto long-term injury, which gives them the opportunity to put to give themselves room to do about $15 million worth of business. And the other thing I really believe is if you're not checking in on the availability of those two guys, you're really not doing your job. So it's a lot of circumstantial evidence, but I'm sure they're at least taking a look at the possibility of it. You know, the fact they had three people there, it was crazy there last night.
Yeah.
They had Di Lombardi was there. Basically, every team had somebody there last night. It was a packed night in the press box. One of the scouts there was telling me they were joking that there was no food left. So, you know, I think that last night was one of those nights where everybody kind of converged on Buffalo and watched that game, and the Avalanche guys didn't do a ton. So, I just think they're like everyone else. They're looking. They're seeing if they can make a fit. And, you know, the one thing about Lamoriello is if he does decide to make a match, we're going to be the last ones to find out.
Yeah, that's true, Elliot. Is there anybody else the Leafs are looking at outside of those two star players?
You know, I think what they're doing, and the one thing I could see possibly about those two guys is they both have term remaining. And, you know, the one thing about Landeskog is his term goes for a while. Duchene has two more years, which means it would expire at about the time they have to pay both, they have to do the next contracts for both Matthews and Marner. So, you know, it fits in the sense that I really think they're not going to do anything unless it fits the long-term image of what they're thinking. Like, I don't think they're adding to do, like, a big-time short-term rental if it's going to cost them a ton. I just don't think they're interested in doing that. So I think if there's a defenseman out there they can add who's got some term left, I think they would do it. There aren't a lot of those. And I think if there was someone who helped them for a while, I think they would do it, David. I just don't think they're really interested in anything that doesn't fit the long-term plan of where they're going. The other thing is they're looking for a fourth-line center. So I could see a guy like John Mitchell, who did play here, being the kind of guy the Leafs would go after.
Elliot Friedman, our guest, NHL on Sportsnet and Hockey Night in Canada. Sid finally, it took him about a week staying at $9.99, but he gets to 1,000 last night. Elliot helps the Penguins on to another win. You know, you look at Sid and you look at the whole profile of numbers and, you know, fifth best points per game in NHL history, and he does it at a time where, you know, basically, if you get 250 goals as a team in the National Hockey League these days, you're one of the best offenses in the league. Whereas, you know, in the 80s, in the heydays of Gretzky, you know, most teams scored over 300, and the Oilers scored about 450. So it's a bit of a different time, and given that Crosby is doing this, I mean, it almost feels like we underappreciate him sometimes.
You know, I think the best compliment I can give him myself is that I used to think, you know, what a shame that he missed all that time in the prime of his career. You know, I don't think that anymore because he's got such a great resume and it's only growing. There's still more to accomplish. You know, we kind of have the holy five of pro hockey players. When you do any list of your top whatever, there's usually some combination of Gretzky or Lemieux, Howe, Richard in your top five. And I think by the time his career is done, if he continues going this way, I think we're going to be forced to consider, is Sidney Crosby in that top five? And just because of everything he's done, as you guys mentioned, he's grinding away in an era where, you know, there's not as much offense. He's got two Stanley Cups. He's got two Olympic gold medals and a World Cup and counting. Like, there's the opportunity for more of this stuff. And it's only this year that he's going to turn 30. So, you know, he's got a chance to keep building that resume. I've always had tremendous respect and admiration for his approach. They've called him, you know, a superstar who thinks like a fourth liner. And I don't think that's changed a lot. He's constantly evolving his game. He's constantly making himself better. You know, he used to be terrible on faceoffs. His shot wasn't as respected. You know, both of those things are gone now. You know, he's a guy who's giving himself a chance to win the Rocket Richard Trophy, and that was something that we didn't think he was going to do early in his career. I think that's the other thing I have incredible respect for is how he's constantly evolved his game. He's never satisfied. You know, I just think by the end of his career, if he keeps going this way, we're going to have, you know, a decision to make. You know, who do you move to number six? And I think that's just an ultimate compliment for a guy's career, because I think for a lot of us, that top five would have been unbreakable before he got around.
Considering the iron is hot in Pittsburgh, are they busy in the next 12 days?
Yeah, I think they are. I had a chance to speak to Jim Rutherford last week, and he said, look, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to win, and I'll deal with the fallout after the season's over. So, yes, I think they are in it to win again, and really in it to win again. You know, they do have some cap issues, although some guys come off their cap in the next couple of years. You know, Kunitz comes off. Daly comes off, Hornqvist comes off, depending on what they want to do with these guys. And so they have some flexibility to do some stuff. But, yes, I do think you have to worry about the Penguins going out and adding big.
Elliot Friedman, our guest on Sportsnet today. So the Habs make the coaching change. What does that signal for them and what they do ahead of the trade deadline? I know in your 30 thoughts you spoke a lot about what they might do with Alex Galchenyuk.
Well, you know, I think that's the most interesting one. You know, they play their first game on Hockey Day in Canada tomorrow. They have the 2 o'clock game against Winnipeg. And, you know, the number one thing I'm curious about, and they do practice this afternoon, is what line is Alex Galchenyuk, you know, going on? You know, they haven't, even though he's been hurt, like when he's been healthy, they haven't put him back a lot with Radulov and Pacioretty. And I kind of wonder, is Claude Julien going to do that to kickstart him? You know, for whatever reason, Galchenyuk and Therrien did not hit it off. You know, it just wasn't a match that was working. So, you know, they do have to pay him after this year. He's 2 years from unrestricted free agency. And, you know, they have to make a decision. Where are we with him and where are we going? And I'm not sure that Therrien was the only guy searching for an answer. I get the sense Bergevin was too. So I'm really curious to see if this move, bringing in Julien, changes the way they deploy or they use Galchenyuk. Because now you've got a bit of a fresh start and you get to see where you're going with him. So I am really interested in that because, as we know, Mark Bergevin is not afraid to pull the trigger on a big move, number one. And number two, it just hasn't seemed like the fit has worked to this point.
Elliot, the Maple Leafs are making some news tomorrow. They're supposed to be adding some names to Legends Row, and we've kind of speculated on who those names could be. Any inside information on what we can expect?
No, I don't have inside information. Who are you speculating?
Well, we came up with
Big Red, M. Yeah, Red Kelly, Frank Mahovlich, and then possibly, I don't know if they would do this yet, but Clark and Gilmore might be in that list too.
You know, I think those are very reasonable guesses. You know, Red Kelly is a guy who went to the top 100 in L.A. and was ill. So, you know, it's possible there's a bit of a sense of urgency there. You know, Mahovlich was there too. He looked fantastic. I think those are all very reasonable choices. I've also wondered if, you know, some of the guys from like the 1930s, like a Charlie Conacher, That kind of thing. So as they're celebrating your top 100, I was wondering if maybe some of the more historical guys would get a chance on that as well.
Yeah, Mihovlich, the only player in the top 10 in the Leafs 100 that is yet to make it on Legends Row.
Well, then I think you're probably looking at it and saying that's a name that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, exactly. Elliot, really appreciate the time this morning. Thanks, pal.
All right, guys.